Hey, ECHL fans, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Level, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And I'm Joe Babick. We are your ECHL Ice Level hosts.
We'll be dropping a new episode every week throughout the season on Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. You can expect to hear from players, coaches, and staff within the league.
Today we have a special guest. We have Tyler Nimmons, the producer from ECHL Unfiltered, to join us. Last week we announced that season two will focus on the South Carolina Stingrays. So they've already been doing some filming down there in Charleston and with the team for a premiere date in the summer, so it'll be exciting to hear from Tyler about what's going on. Looking back a little bit at season one at the Idaho Steelheads and looking forward to season two at the Stingrays.
Yeah, obviously Tyler has a lot different of background, and obviously he's working, you know, with the team directly in the locker room filming throughout the season. So it'll be really cool to have him on and just to hear about, you know, his insider experience through that.
Yep. And before we get to him, just kind of recapping a little bit, this past weekend we were in Kalamazoo for the Hockey Heritage Weekend, a great event with the Hall of Fame ceremony on Friday night and the game between the K-Wings and Toledo on Saturday. Went into overtime. Kalamazoo won. A very exciting game and a fun weekend in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, it was a really great game. You know, as you said, Joe, Kalamazoo won in overtime, and then we also had King George in the building, which was pretty exciting.
I know that made your entire weekend.
Yeah, no, it did. although the Lions lost, we had a really great game at the Wings Event Center, and overall just an awesome weekend.
Yep, and the uniforms look great. You can bid on those by going to migrateauctions.com. Speaking of auctions, yesterday we announced the 2024-25 midseason ECHL All-Star teams from the East and the Western Conference. Even though there's no All-Star game this year, it's nice to be able to recognize the top performers from around the league. And each of those players will have a jersey being auctioned off through Dash. So you can go to our website or the Dash website and check out those great-looking jerseys as well.
Yeah, congrats to all of those All-Stars for the East and West Division. Still super exciting, although there's no game around that this year. But definitely keep an eye out on all of our social media platforms. We're going to be promoting that auction, and I will say the jerseys are pretty cool.
Yep, they are. And a little bit of a lull here this week with the All-Star break, midseason break for the players, but getting back into it this weekend. And second half is always an exciting time as the playoff races start to heat up. So it should be some great hockey here this weekend when the action picks back up.
Yeah, super excited. We will pick back up tomorrow on Friday with games again, with game coverage on all of our social media platforms. And we will go ahead and jump in here with Tyler to get to know him a little bit better.
All right. On today's episode, we're pleased to be joined by Tyler Nimmons, the producer of ECHL Unfiltered. Tyler, we thank you for joining us today. We're excited to see what's in store for season two here in the months ahead on ECHL Unfiltered. But before we get into all that and the backstory, first, we want to get to know a little bit more about you. What got you interested in this kind of career, and how did it get going?
Yeah, no, it's great to talk with you guys. I'm a huge fan of ECHL, and so I'm pumped to be on here and to be able to talk about all things ECHL. In career-wise, I mean, I started somebody that started, like, I've done everything from all aspects, every side of the camera. I haven't done it well, but I've done it. I started out in front of it doing commercials and TV and stuff like that. And then had a lot more fun behind the camera. So just kind of the passion for it grew from there. Once technology came down to like a consumer level and I could shoot and cut on my computer, I was kind of just gone.
The first season of ECHL Unfiltered premiered last fall with the Idaho Steelheads. Kind of just walk us through how that process started with them and how exciting it was to follow the team throughout last season.
Yeah, that was so in that transition, living here in Boise, Idaho, and being a fan of the Steelheads and seeing that, you know, historic run they were on in that the 22-23 season, I had reached out to them in playoffs and said, hey, I want to get a camera there and follow you guys and kind of build up this sizzle reel and see if we can't go sell this as a series. And they said, that's fantastic. We have no room for any more cameras. We are stocked full because they were so popular at that time. but they said, reach back out to us after summer. And Steven Anderson, GM, you know, he got in touch with him, got right back to me, said, yeah, we're definitely interested in this. So we put together this pitch, this proposal of what we wanted to do and follow the team for a season. We knew they had 14 of their returning, which is kind of unheard of in this league. And a lot of guys was, you know, the theme of last that season for those guys was unfinished business. And so we wanted to see if we could track that and catch that with those guys. And the team was just great. Met with, you know, Sheener and Keenan and Trapper, the president. I remember walking into that meeting and they're all, Cam, they're all sitting around a table. And it felt like I walked in, I go, I feel like I'm going to get whacked. You know, because he's like, you're just a guy coming in with your camera, like, who are you? What do you want to get? So it was, I was very clear, and I was always very clear with the players, is that, you know, we're here, we're not here to create, you know, the Real Housewives of the ECHL. I don't want manufactured drama. We want to have an honest look at this league and what it takes. We're not looking to manufacture drama. It has enough of its own on the ice. That's what we want to capture. So I think it took a little while for them to really settle in and realize that, you know, we were one of the good guys for them. And then I think a great compliment that Sheener gave me, it depends on, some people might take it as an insult, is he's like, oh yeah, sometimes I forget Tyler's here. And that's what you want to do, right? And you're making these, you want to fade into the furniture so that they can just be who they are. And they're also comfortable enough to know that they can be who they are and that we're what we're after. But I think to realize you're in the room and somebody's like, oh yeah, you're here, would be an insult. But I was like, all right, we're getting there. So the team was just, I mean, those guys, they're just fantastic in the locker room. They just really trusted us to tell their story the right way. And we got a lot of good stuff from that.
Yeah. I think even as, you know, just myself sitting on the couch at home watching the episodes through, it really felt like very organic. And I'm sure it felt for you kind of like, you know, although it might have not seemed like you were there, you were still, you know, part of the team for the weeks that you were there filming. I'm sure a lot of the players and coaches and other staff got comfortable with you around and were like, hey, they just want to capture, you know, what's truly happening in the ECHL that not everyone is seeing behind Flow Sports.
It's, as a fan of hockey and just wanting to have more hockey content, you know, you go, you watch a Steelheads game and you go, I want a little bit more, that's something that's off the ice. So the approach was really, what is something that as a fan of hockey, I would want to see. But then as a producer, we really wanted to open it up to the casual fan to give them a look and get them excited about the ECHL and about hockey so that they could get an understanding of what it's like in this league, which is, you know, it's a developmental league. And there's so many issues that come with that for the coaches, for the players, you know, for you guys in there. And I really wanted to give people a look, because when I came across this league, I didn't know anything about the ECHL. I grew up, you know, going to Kings games in Los Angeles. So I knew NHL. And I came here, moved here and thought, oh, and it's great hockey. It's physical, it's fast, it's skilled. It's everything you want it to be. And it's in an arena that is, you know, I've been to a few now, but I still think Boise is, for that experience, like, there isn't a bad seat in the house. Like, you can really, you're in it. And the fans here are just, whew, you know, they love the Steelies on that. So I really wanted to be able to bring that to the viewer at home, sitting on the couch and getting pumped up, and then either, you know, become like, you know, the Steelheads becomes their second favorite ECHL team, or they become a fan of the Steelheads if they don't have a hockey team in their hometown. Yeah. So
certainly. So you touched on it a lot there, but was there anything that, you know, drew you specifically into hockey with the ECHL, being like, hey, I want to come up with this documentary to, you know, encapsulate the ECHL? Or was it just, you know, you happened to be in Boise where the Steelheads are and you were like, this is a great opportunity?
A little bit from A and B there. You know, I think as a producer, as a director, fortunately, unfortunately for my family, I'm always looking for the story. Oh, that would make a great story. Here's how it would make a great story. And, you know, half the time they're just like, shut up, you know, stop. But watching the Steelheads games, and just, I didn't play hockey growing up. I just would go to Kings games with my dad, and it was just always a fun time. And I just, one of those sports that I just love to see live. And then my son got into hockey and he started playing. So we would go to these games, and then I would just, I'd watch the players, I'd watch the games, and then I'd go research the players after. And I was like, there's real heart here, and how these guys are in pursuit of this career and where they are. Some of these, this is the first stepping stone in their career to go to the NHL. Others, this is where their home is, and they are glad and happy to be there, and they play to their heart's content every single night. So I just really felt it just had all the makings of a great series that would draw somebody in and also inspire somebody too. That's the other thing, is that you watch these guys, you know, you can only control so much on the ice, right? And then sometimes there's no puck luck, what have you, but you can only control so much. So it's how these guys manage this and still pull through and then go fight night after night. Like, you get smoked like 4-0 and you go, and that's the thing, you're going back on Saturday night. You're like, now I got to face these guys again. All right. So how do you kind of readjust and go after that? And then also as a coach, how do you readjust? Because let's say Friday night, you got beat. Saturday, you got morning skate. You come off there and you find, oh, one of your guys is getting called up. So now you've got to readjust your whole line as a team in the locker room. How do we mentally reset and get there? I just felt it had such a great makings for a series with just kind of good drama in it, and just showed a side of hockey that most people might not know about, just kind of like myself.
The other series you worked on, One More Swing, it takes a look at mini tour golfers looking to make the jump to the PGA Tour. And there's probably a lot of overlap with, you know, mindset and, you know, ECHL players looking to move up to the AHL and NHL, and the mini tour golfers looking to make their name and make the PGA Tour. So it's a lot of the same stories and mental attributes, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm a huge underdog guy. You know, it's kind of been, that's been my whole kind of, been just a lot of my career. A lot of my stuff is the underdog, and at Game Above too, that's kind of who we're rooting for. A lot of us were the underdogs, so those are the stories that we're really gravitated towards. And yeah, there is a lot of similarities with the PGA Tour. The thing I found fascinating about those guys is, you know, the amount of pressure, but there's just you, that's it, and just the focus. And like, you don't have a teammate to lift you up. I mean, maybe you've got a coach or a parent or a brother, sister, or a wife or something to lift you up, but you don't have that. It's just you. But oddly enough, one of our guys on our second episode, which is getting released here soon, grew up playing hockey. And so there was I had a lot of fun talking to him about kind of the parallels in that, but it is being an athlete and being kind of focused and centered and having that discipline, you know, I guess like all sports, it just translates across them all. But yeah, definitely like to tell underdog stories and see them succeed. That's what we love.
So you touched on this a little bit already, but, you know, how was that relationship that you grew with the Steelheads specifically while filming? And then also, what were some, you know, things that you might have learned about yourself through the documentary, but also from, you know, what the staff feedback gave to you?
Yeah, that's, you know, you're super nervous of the feedback from the team and that. But the, you know, the guys were like, the relationship with the team was great, you know, from, and it really is a top notch organization, just from the top down. Like, everybody is so caring. And it really, for me, hit home in that final episode with Trapper talking to the team about that. And I go, that's something to me that kind of runs through the whole team, through Sheener, through Keenan, those guys, and just how much they care. You know, it's, Sheener's got it on his wall. It's like, show him how much you care before you show him how much you know. And like, that's just how he ran through it. I mean, I barely saw him. Apparently I missed a couple of times when he lost his temper, but it's, you know, it's few and far between for that guy. He's very even keeled. And I just watched him manage stress levels. You know, I ran into him in the street the other day, and he and Keenan, and he's like, oh, you should be filming now. He goes, ECHL. He goes, we just had like 6 call-ups changes on that. But he still is, just has that same kind of even keel. Like, it's a situation and I will deal with it. I won't get too emotional about it. And to me, I learned a lot from these guys about showing up and accountability on that. I mean, that bench, maybe once or twice things got heated. People got a little chippy with one another bench out of, you know, the entire season. The rest of that was this kind of neutral mindset that they have that really just everybody's bought into. And you see how valuable that is, because when you're down by two, they're not out of it. They don't feel, they're not deflated. As a fan, maybe you're like, oh God, how are they going to do this? But as a team, they all bought into that mindset and they just lifted each other up. It was just great to watch and hear that. And some guy came in for a, I forgot who it was. I don't think he was there long, but he came in and he came off the shift. I had the good fortune in Boise, they've got a press box between the two benches. So I camped there with a camera. And the guy came in and just like slammed the door. And I think it was register turned to him, just goes, hey, we don't do that here. I mean, he was just chill, like, hey man, that's not our mindset. We just don't do that here. It's like, God, that's great. They're just stand up guys. I mean, the thing I learned was, you know, just being a better human being. They just showed up day in and day out. They did what they said they were going to do. They made themselves kind of available to me, like Nicky Canate. Most people look at that guy on the ice and they might think they know who he is based on his level of play. And it's one thing I'm glad that the doc got to show was exactly how good of a dude that guy is. he stands up for his teammates, but he's, you know, a 200-foot player, like, and gives it everything. You need me on defense? No problem. You need me up top? No problem. That guy just really shows up for his teammates and truly cares about his teammates. I had, my daughter is big and my son are both Nicky Canate fans. So I texted Nicky, we were coming to a game with the cousins, and I said, hey, you know, the coming to the game, just my daughter just wants to say hi to you. Maybe just like wave down the tunnel or something. He said, yeah, just meet me after the game. And he had like a signed stick from the whole team for her. And she just was like, you know, it's bigger than she is. And so she's walking around with this. They had a tough loss that night. And like, he just came out with smiles and just their cousins were there and met them and was like, you know, I would assume me, you know, I have a tough loss. Last thing I want to do is be personable in that. And he's just like, no, just I'm here. Like, this is that. I'll deal with that there. So they're just, hockey players are just built different from what I've come across. They really are. And even the guys, you know, they've battled on the ice. And I've told this story before. And it was the Allen team. You know, there's a heated rivalry last season between Allen and Idaho that kind of, it was, you always knew you were getting fireworks. But those guys, and they'd see me in between the benches, those guys, you know, I was trying to lug some of my gear up the stairs between the locker rooms, and they'd see me all game sitting there. I'm sticking the camera in their face. And they go, hey, can we help you up the stairs with that? Like, and they didn't know who I was filming for our series. They just thought, oh, it's a Steelheads guy. And like, hey, can we, cause all they have to do is walk this way to their hotel and they're there. That's the great thing about Idaho is the hotel's connected to the arena. But they're like, no, let us carry this upstairs for you and do that. I was like, just cool dudes. Like, it's just, I'm like, hockey players are built different. That one always stuck with me. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And, you know, being around the organization as much as you were you able to, you know, learn what the teams, not specifically just the Steelheads, but what they're able to provide to their communities and how important they are to the life of the city, especially with Boise there.
Yeah, it's if you don't have a, you know, like a major sports team in there, there's so much that people kind of invest and put in here and kind of what they give back to the community with that. You know, with Idaho, the arena is right downtown in there. Games are usually sold out, I think, for the most part. And the team really kind of makes themselves available to their fans, to their booster club. And they just so much support for the fans, but also just kind of giving back that, you know, the great entertainment for families to go to, because that's the other great thing about ECHL and these, you know, you're not paying $1,600 a ticket like you are at a Knights game, you know, and it's, you just get good entertainment, get a great hockey, and they just kind of really give these communities a team to rally around and root for. It's always fun to just go and just see, you know, Steely merch out on the street and everybody. And it's just something that you can all kind of rally around together and fist bump and talk about the game. Like, I spent this past weekend at a youth hockey tournament with my son, and, you know, we were heated up over like the Florida game, those two Florida games. And I think that ate up a good chunk of our conversation in the evening after the game was the Steelies. Like, it's, so we, it gives us somebody to root for. You know, kind of same thing with South Carolina, which we're doing now.
Yeah, I think especially with, you know, the ECHL teams that are in cities or areas that there's not a professional team like NHL, NFL, MLB, they really do, you know, thrive and the entire community comes together. I went out to Boise last year as well, my first time, and I was like, oh my God, this is like an NHL game. It's insane there. So much fun.
They get, those get loud. Those are, I mean, they're just fun to be at. They really are.
Well, you mentioned South Carolina. Let's look ahead now to season two with the Stingrays. You know, similar to the Steelheads, a team that's been there for a long time, over 30 seasons, you know, ingrained in the community, popular attraction there. I know you've only been shooting for a few weeks, but how has it been going so far?
It's, you know, it with South Carolina, it's one of those things, like when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And you just, you talk about, it's another thing. It's just a great organization, and you got Rob Concannon at the top there that is such, he's so passionate about that team and everything there for. I just really enjoy my time with that guy. He's a lot of fun. And then, you know, Knighty, the coach, like those guys are just, they again have opened up to us. They understand what we're doing, what we're after, and making everything available. And again, it's another great locker room of guys that are committed to one another. They're just solid dudes. I mean, I have yet to run into a hockey player that I'm like, oh, that guy seems like a real, you know, jerk or something like that. I have yet to. There's stuff that happens on the ice, and I found that stays on the ice. But with the Stingrays, what's exciting is, you know, it's that longest tenured team in the ECHL. There's such history there. Rob, you know, he played for the Stingrays. You know, he won a Kelly Cup with them, and then two, he's watched in the stands. So he really needs that fourth as a president there. On that, and that's what they're after. And coming in and missing, I think it was by 1 point last, the playoffs last season, because that Eastern Conference, if you look at it, like that's brutal. In the South where they at, I mean, they've got Florida, like those two are just, you know, it's, but it's not just, it's all those teams there that are tough. I mean, you look at Wheeling, and it's that Eastern Conference is just, it's rough, but you know, they need South Carolina, you know, Robbie needs that. He needs that fourth, and what they've kind of done in this rebuild is exciting to capture. So I've been very fortunate that they were our next team to do that, because again, another top-notch organization, funny locker room. I mean, those guys, good God, like I think, you know, I've seen a lot of stand-up comedy in my days, but those locker rooms, those guys, they are quick. Like you don't want to get in a chirping battle with those guys, because I will lose in a second. But yeah, we've been with this Stingrays. We've been shooting for a while now. We've had cameras on the ground there. I've been fortunate enough to get on the ground there. I'm going back next week with them for a series. I've traveled with them to Florida. So there's if you've been following the Stingrays, and you know that there's a lot of good stuff going on there. They've got a very stacked team. They've got a great relationship with Hershey and with the Capitals. So we've been able to really focus and bring in and highlight that true developmental aspect of it. Was fortunate enough to be down there where some of the Caps goalie coaches were working with that. It's like that three-headed monster they've got there in net. Dine, Isley, Bjorklund, and Gibson are just, whew. So I'm excited for this one.
Although it's still, you know, kind of early days in production here, are there any shining stars you would say that we should be on the lookout for when this gets released?
That's, you've got so many good stories there. You know, one guy that comes to mind that I find is fascinating character and just individual and kind of a stand-up guy is Knockbauer. Like he's a guy that is, he can put it in the back of the net, and he's the first guy to stand up for his teammate there. you know, and he's the guy that will always be first in for his teammate. Graves, the captain, talk of that guy is just fired up for that team. His first year with the Stingrays, and they made him the captain. And I asked Snidey about that, and they did it for a reason. And I'm seeing those reasons. And then you've got Wilkins and Moore, you know, they've been there a while. Like those guys, you've got Kupka. I mean, you've got so many great stories and guys to come out of there. You've got all of the rookies that are down from Hershey with them, you know, that are, you've got Lee, you've got Miller. Miller's not a rookie, but you know, you've got it, to say there's really kind of shining stars is tough because they're, it's such a powerful team because everybody can play the body hard and everybody can put it in the net. So it's really interesting. But as far as personalities, Combs too, that guy is hysterical in the locker room. I had to take a knee. I was laughing so hard from that guy. So it's, yeah, I can't really pinpoint one. Those are just kind of some of the names that are popping out as we go through. We're starting our post-production here, as well. We got to run those after we've kind of got that. We've got our episodes roughly laid out, but, we'll start in post. So yeah.
Well, a lot certainly to look forward to with season two coming this summer. Tyler, we appreciate your time and wish you continued fun and good luck as the season progresses.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you guys for having me. So hopefully everybody can go out and they can watch season one and the Steelies and then just get pumped for season two.
Yeah, absolutely. Super excited, you know, to go back, rewatch, and then come back during the summer once it's released here.
Yeah, perfect. Awesome. Thank you guys.
Thanks so much, Tyler.
We thank Tyler for taking the time to join us today and let us know what to look forward to on season two of ECHL Unfiltered with the South Carolina Stingrays coming up this summer. If you missed season one with the Idaho Steelheads or want to check any of the other episodes again, you can visit flowhockey.tv and check those out there. Hope everyone enjoyed the episode today with Tyler. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform. Also follow us on social media at ECHL Hockey on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, and at ECHL on X. Enjoy all the games this weekend, and we'll be back with you next week for another edition of ECHL Ice Level.